Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC, and for anyone struggling to lose those post-holiday pounds, there may be help. Just ask a Neanderthal what he wants for dinner. That's the basic idea behind the so-called paleo diet, where you're meant to eat only what cavemen did around 40,000 years ago. The diet is actually getting more and more popular, with some celebrities swearing by it, Megan Fox and others. So what can be gained by eating the way our hunter-gatherer ancestors did? Joining us is Arthur Devaney, grandfather of the paleo movement and author of a new book called The New Evolution Diet. Arthur, thank you for coming in. Welcome to WNYC.
Pleasure to be here.
Should we start with the basic tenets of the diet? Did I promote the science properly before the break in saying that the theory is that our bodies evolved before the advent of farming, and so that has implications for what we should eat?
That's absolutely correct. That's such a succinct way to place it, except that Neanderthals went extinct.
Had already been extinct.
Right. And yes, had been and did go. We do share some genetic material with them. But in fact, humans were prime carnivores, up near the wolf in terms of their carnivory.
So hunter-gatherers, that means our bodies evolved to eat meat and things that could be gathered rather than grown.
That's correct, yes. You can spear it or catch it. A lot of seafood, though. We mustn't forget the ice ages and the importance of the ice age.
And to be clear, what you're proposing is more than just a diet. It's about exercise and lifestyle, and to some degree, you propose a lot of things that everybody would say is common sense. But when you come down to this theory of evolution, are you saying that our bodies cannot process grains, all the things that we think of and association with farming? I mean, that would be so many things that people would generally think of as healthy eating, vegetables that are grown, the grains that are grown if they're whole grains and not processed. All of that would be out for you.
No, vegetables are included. The food pyramid really starts with vegetables, a rich variety and lots of ample color and texture. From there, it goes to meat and seafood, and then it goes to nuts, and then it goes to spices for their antioxidants.
What led you to develop a program around this theory?
Believe me, I didn't start paleo. I actually developed a modern version of this diet in trying to keep my wife and son healthy. They had type 1 diabetes. So I studied metabolism intensely and did careful testing of their blood sugars and noted the foods that caused insulin requirements to shoot up.
Now, listeners, I want to point you to a photo of Arthur Devaney on our website. Arthur Devaney at the gym pumping iron. If you can go to our site right now, WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and take a guess how old Arthur Devaney is. He's listed there under the segment called The Caveman Diet. I have to say that we around here were pretty shocked. So before we finish up, Arthur will reveal his age, but go and take a look at his photo on our page. Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and you will see Arthur Devaney pumping iron. So we won't say how long you've been practicing this. A decade later, well, your young son, as you said, had diabetes, and you didn't think the high-carb diet that the doctors recommended makes sense.
It didn't make sense at all.
Do they still recommend? Because now I know people with diabetes, and they say, well, I have to watch my carbs. So has that thinking changed?
Slightly, but it still is promoted as healthy because they also realize that excess fat causes resistance to the action of insulin. So it's a balancing act, but it's very clear that carbohydrate restriction not only is effective in managing type 1 diabetes, but actually slows the rate at which we age.
And listeners, if you have a question or a comment for Arthur Devaney, maybe you've been aware of this for a long time and want to talk about your experiences on it or challenge it, whatever, 212-433-WNYC, 233-9692, 212-433-WNYC. And here's Ben in Carroll Gardens. Ben, you're on WNYC. You've been eating this way?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. It's an honor to speak to Mr. Devaney. Yeah, I've been eating this way for over a year. I came at it very skeptical. You know, I'm 31 years old. My whole life I was kind of more or less a healthy by standard terms, eating whole grains, et cetera. But anyway, I gave it a shot for a month and never turned back. You just feel really good. And I just want to stress that there's nothing extreme. People use the word caveman kind of pejoratively. It's really just about eating nice piece of meat, good salad, a little bit of nuts, fruit. I mean, it's pretty simple. Some nice, good tubers, sweet potatoes, things like that. It's not as extreme as people want to make it out to be.
Ben, thank you very much. So there's a 31-year-old male who says he's an athlete, he's in the best shape of his life, on the diet. And I've read that the diet seems to appeal to young men in part, and some say it has a kind of macho appeal. You think?
I think it does, yes, because we all want to be cavemen, and the imagery is so compelling. But let's take a look at my 73-year-old wife, who lost 5 dress sizes and is hot. Whoops, I just gave something away.
No, you only gave away her age. We don't know if you're older, younger, what. Gary in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Well, he's talking about ketosis. That's another matter. But physiologically, just look at how we have evolved since the caveman. We have a long, convoluted gut. We have enzyme systems that are designed to break down starches more than meat. It doesn't look anything like a tiger's or a real predator whose enzymes can break bone down and digest it. But we also have a teeth structure, which is made for grinding more than tearing. If you go down the list of the different kinds of physiological things that make us up, we do have the best ability to eat starch type foods, but we can eat meat as well, but not in the quantities that we eat it, and certainly not in the way it's eaten. In other words,
Gary, I'm going to leave it there. Your point is clear, and there's sort of the other point of view. But with respect to the evolution question, as he raises it, first of all, 40,000 years is a long time. I think we started farming about 10,000 years ago.
We did.
So that is not long in evolutionary terms, but maybe long enough for the digestive system to start to adapt, for people who are good at eating, you know, farmed foods to be the ones most likely to survive. And who's to say we can't process that stuff too?
The ability to digest starch has evolved in certain populations, likewise to metabolize lactose. But those were all under the nutritional stress. Those are adaptations that were forced upon humans. They were laid over existing metabolic pathways. So the insulin pathway, for example, is ancient. It goes clear back to yeast and worms. That hasn't changed. We still rely on the insulin IGF pathway.
So this is similar. People are going to hear this and say, oh, well, this is like the Atkins diet, high protein, low carbs.
Not true. Atkins diet is a kind of a monolithic diet. First of all, it's regimented. Second of all, it's not palatable. And third of all, it restricts carbohydrate far too much. When you severely restrict carbohydrate and you attempt to maintain ketosis, you're burning ketones, but a lot of the ketones are coming from the diet, not from your own body fat. The problem is it's a brittle diet.
So what are you having for lunch today?
Lunch, I'm going to have, I had salmon last night. I will probably have a chicken salad. I mean, not sliced chicken salad, a real salad with barbecue chicken on it.
David in Forest Hills, you're on WNYC. Hi, David.
Yes, hi. You know, my uncle has a glioblastoma, which is a brain tumor. And you can go to clinicaltrials.gov, and the ketogenic diet is used for children with epilepsy, and also it's used to it's used as far as brain tumors, as far as, you know, preventing the growth of the tumor. And there are a number of studies, 26 studies, using this diet, and it's the only diet that is preventive there's for diabetes. You can go on, the government has trials on major universities. It's called KetoCal. It's used in Europe, and it's very effective for diabetes mellitus, and it's for glioblastoma, and it's also for very effective, it's more effective in children than actually anti-epileptics, and it's able to prevent epileptic seizures in children up to 80%.
And I'm going to leave it there. A lot in there. Obviously a fan and a practitioner.
All true.
But even for brain tumors, diet can affect brain tumors?
Absolutely. Well, the brain enjoys being switched from glucose to ketones and to lactate. And Alzheimer's, a friend of mine, a psychiatrist, finished a trial with Alzheimer's and showed that putting people on a diet that restricts carbohydrate, which induces ketosis, is very good for the brain. It reduces the rate at which those plaques form in the brain.
We had another author recently, the science journalist Gary Taubes, who advocates some similar things, and he made a lot of waves by saying that calories don't matter. You don't reduce your weight, for example, if weight is your goal, by counting your calories, because a calorie is not a calorie. They're not processed the same. You also say don't count calories.
I do.
Because?
Because your metabolism treats each nutrient that you eat depending on its state and what your hormone levels are. If your hormones are misdirecting the calories you're eating, they're going to be stored in fat, and your brain is going to be in an energy crisis, and it's going to make you eat and stop moving.
So the basic law of thermodynamics, as we usually understand it, energy in, energy out.
It's an open energy system. That only applies to a closed energy system like a furnace or something like that. We're human beings.
All right. How old are you?
73.
And so for people who are looking at you on our website, they will be impressed, no doubt. You have an exercise regimen?
Yes, but I don't have any regimen. It's really random, playful activity mimicking wild animals and children, but with a touch of intensity.
I will leave it to others to determine after they see your picture if they think you're hot. But Arthur Devaney is author of the new book, The Evolution Diet. He is considered the grandfather of the so-called caveman or paleo diet. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Lisa Allison, Jody Avergan, and Paige Cowett produced this program with Alan Smith and Karen Camp. We had intern help today from Kristen Clark and Jonathan Kalstein. It's a freecountry.org editor, Anna Sale, and our senior producer is Megan Ryan. That's Debbie Fountain at the audio controls. Tomorrow we'll talk about watching your credit in the new economy and with new rules coming down from the banks. Talk to you tomorrow. I'm Brian Lehrer.